big center net.
Going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
On Wednesday night in Salt Lake City, Utah, Calgary Flames captain Michael Backlund will become the second player in franchise history to play 1,000 games with a flaming C on his chest. He'll become the 82nd player in NHL history to play 1,000 games with the same organization and the 73rd player in NHL history to play his first 1,000 games with the same organization. Pretty cool milestone Wednesday night in Salt Lake City, which just also happens to be the only NHL city Michael Backlund has never played in. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, and ahead of Michael Backlund's milestone night in Utah, the captain of the Calgary Flames joins us right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Bax, I know it's an off day, so honestly, we really do appreciate the time. I wanted to make sure that we made your big day on Wednesday as big a deal as we possibly could. I guess congratulations ahead of the game. How we doing? How we feeling ahead of Wednesday night?
Yeah, no, it feels good. I'm really excited now that, you know, it's the next game. It's been a waiting game for a while here now. With a lot of emotions and thoughts and, you know, planning and all that. So, it's going to be nice to play the game tomorrow.
When I throw those numbers out, just two of you in the history of this organization, less than 100 guys to ever do it in the history of the league. Like, what is something like that mean to you, Michael?
Yeah, I know. It means a lot. You know, for me, it's like I'm not a top scorer or I'm not going to win any of those, you know, flashy trophies, like the individual prizes, awards. And so for me, I take a lot of pride in being a really solid, consistent player, plays with heart for the team, plays the right way and does it every night. And if you play 1,000 games, that means you've been a decent player in this league for a long time. And that's something I take a lot of pride in to be, and to do with one team makes it even more special. I am so thankful that I get to, you know, play my 1,000 games with the Calgary Flames. It means so much to me and my family. And I can't thank the Calgary Flames enough. The whole organization and every GM and coach has been part of the journey, and the owners, and the city of Calgary for all the love they've been giving me. It's just, it's pretty surreal. It's hard to take in at times, but I'm super excited.
Michael, I know you've said it a few times since you decided to sign back in the fall of 2023 and you were named captain. I know a number of times last year, as frustrating and difficult as last year was, you said, no, I made the right call, and you were so happy with your decision to stay. I wonder how much more you feel that way ahead of hitting this milestone tomorrow. Like how much more you feel like, hey, I made the right call. Getting 1,000 games with the Flames was the right way to go about things.
Yeah, no, definitely. It feels definitely the right call. It's in this league, you know, at the time last year, there was a lot of uncertainty. So who's going to stay, who's going to go, where's this team heading? What's like, we had some tough years behind us. Or 1 year tough behind us, and was, you know, a lot of question marks, and it was just hockey-wise, it was like, you know, not a lot of uncertainty, not knowing where this team was going. So of course, you know, you value what if I, you know, go to contender, but you don't know who's the contender in this league. Is this league is so tight and it's so hard, and it's, when you put everything in perspective, it's like it means so much more to me to be loyal to Calgary and to be part of the community and to be able to play 1,000 games, one team, and to be the captain, everything, like our kids love living in Calgary. It's just our whole life was, you know, it's all about Calgary. So I felt like, you know, that was the decision we wanted to make. And looking back at it, it's definitely the right decision. It's it's not easy to go and chase a cup. And I feel like at that point in my career, it wasn't the right decision to make. So, and I feel like we have something really exciting going on here in Calgary now after a year later, after a lot of moves that happened, a lot of guys leaving him, you know, a lot of teammates I was close to. So, you know, it's tough to see him go, but I think we have something really good to build on here now.
Michael, I was actually thinking about this last night, and you know, we saw some of the coverage of Steven Stamkos going back to Tampa in a Predators jersey and the reception he got and all that. And, you know, I know you wouldn't have been glued to the TV because you had your own game last night, but like when you see stuff like that, does it sort of reinforce, geez, that would have been really weird for me to wind up back in Calgary? Because you could have been a similar story, right? A guy who went to free agency after forever with one team and wound up somewhere else. Like, does, when you see stuff like that, does it kind of underscore just how good you feel about the decision you made?
Yeah, for sure. There was, you know, if I would have made a decision to not re-sign, I could have been, you know, traded. I definitely would have been traded at some point then last season. And then you don't know if you're going to stay with that team. And then you go into free agency, probably signing with a new team. And so all of a sudden you're playing for two different teams within only a few months. So and then you have to move your family around and all that. And it's just so many things that comes with it. And I just feel like it's in Calgary where we belong. And we feel like we've given a lot to the city, and the city has given even more to us. And we felt love and appreciation from the fans. I felt like, this, like I said, this is where we belong. This is where we want to be. And it would have been very weird to come back and play in Calgary. Especially like would have been not the same to play 1,000 games and have the ceremony and all that for a different team.
It's funny, Michael. Wes asked that question, and I think about how weird it looked seeing Mike Modano in a Red Wings jersey and Daniel Alfredson in a Red Wings jersey, or just Steven Stamkos now in a Predators jersey. It just, it doesn't feel right. And I'm thinking, I'm like, Michael Backlund, I'm like in a Dallas Stars or Florida Panthers jersey. It would look bizarre. So I'm glad I don't have to worry about that image. Wes and I were talking earlier, and we're like, geez, because, you know, you sat down with us in the hot stove ahead of your 900th game, and we spoke to you, obviously, in the hot stove after you were named captain last fall, and I'm, like, trying to come up with questions that we haven't asked you before. Like, you know, we've asked you about your first game, and we've asked you about the transition to the NHL and so on and so forth. But it's funny, you were talking about, you know, getting to 1,000 games and how you get there. And you said that, you know, one of the things that you always prided yourself on is playing the right way. So now that 999 are under the belt, what does playing the right way mean for Michael Backlund?
Yeah, I know for me, it means that you play the right side of the puck on both ends of the ice. You do the little things right. And it means, you know, you check hard, you defend first, and if you defend well and check well, you will get your chances. That's how the good teams do it. You know, they play the right way by making the good, simple little plays, and then they get the puck back, and once they're in the old zone, they make things happen. And I think that's the strength of our line, that we're all in D zone, and we're good forecheckers. We turn a lot of pucks over, we get pucks back, and once we do, you know, we can make things happen in the O zone. And that's something I take a lot of pride in.
We're chatting with Michael Backlund. He plays his 1,000th career game Wednesday night in Utah for the Calgary Flames. Joining us here on Flames Talk with Pat and Wes. Wes?
Michael, I don't know how many direct flights there are between Sweden and Salt Lake City, but I do know that it was important for some people close to you to be there tomorrow night. Can you tell us a little bit more about who's there to support you?
Yeah, my six best friends will be there tomorrow. No direct flights to Utah today or Salt Lake City. They had to, or, you know, I booked them to Calgary first. So then they had the Calgary-Stockholm flight, or Stockholm-Calgary, and then they're sleeping at the hotel there tonight in Calgary. They just got there. And tomorrow morning they're flying to Salt Lake City, and they'll be here midday. And ready to watch the game. I just got a video of them I got them some kind of fresh jerseys for them with 1,000 on them. So they're going to look pretty good in the stands. So, I'm super excited that they you know, my plan was to fly everyone in on Thursday to come watch the ceremony night. Total is about 20 people, and but they were like, let's go to Utah. Like they were like determined, like we're going to Utah, and they were like, is it okay if you know, we get our own flights? Can you like help us out, get, you know, to book the Calgary flight earlier and stuff? I'm like, yeah, no problem, of course. I'll take care of all that. And I was just super excited that they wanted to come to Utah and make the time and to be there and for my special night.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I think that's a part, you know, I guess I probably wouldn't have thought of it too often. I think that's a part a lot of people listening maybe haven't considered a ton, is that your dream job took you 7,000 kilometers from home. And yet, you know, I've heard you talk about those six best friends and the support that you have from back home. How have you sort of, I guess, maintained how strong those relationships are, even being on the other side of the world?
Yeah, no, it hasn't always been easy with time change and traveling and all that. And especially when I started having kids and they started having kids, it's just harder to call each other. But with nowadays, with social media, it's easy to kind of catch up and see what people are doing on, you know, Instagram, but also easy to text each other when it's hard to call at times. But I try to make the time as much as I can to call my friends and let them know how important I think they are. And then also always trying to do something, trying to get everyone together in the summertime. And last few summers, we all lost our close friend Victor in 2013 to cancer, and his mom and her friends, they started a charity golf tournament every summer. So this year, all of us were there playing that tournament this summer, and it's something we want to keep doing for the future. Like everyone gets in, because not everyone's back home anymore in our hometown. But we're always trying to go on a boys trip in the summer, or trying to, like I said, that charity tournament or whatever it can be, always make time for each other. And same goes with family, you know, always trying to fly them all over every year and have them over. Same with Frida's family. And it just means so much to us. And to play 1,000 games, it was a must for me to have everyone here. It's not the same to celebrate it without family and friends. That's the whole meaning for me, to have everyone here and celebrate together. That's the best part of it, to have them all here and for them to be part of it. That's what's making it really special.
You've got a special dinner tonight, hey?
Yeah. Taking out the our training staff. They always do so much for us, and a lot of those guys have been here. Depot and Sean O'Brien has been here before I was here, and Sean Kelso started the same. His first draft was my draft, so there's just a lot of guys have been here a long time, and they do the heavy work for us. So I want to show them my appreciation. And also taking Raz out. Raz been, you know, I've taken care of him for 500 games almost. So I figure I got to take care of him for one more dinner, you know?
That's funny.
Only Swede left.
That's right.
I'm stuck with.
The Swedish House Mafia is just you and him now. That's a good point. Whose hair was better at the draft, yours or Kelso's?
Well, definitely mine. Those spikes are hard to pull off. There was almost, I think it was someone today in training staff said you should probably get those frosted tips back. They look good in your early days in Calgary. Just to go a little flashback.
I don't know
if Frida would approve that though.
Speaking of flashbacks,
I guess that's trendy though, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's that?
Is that frosted tips a little trendy again?
Yeah, I think they're trendy. Like puka shells are back. The frosted tips are back for sure.
I can't believe you just asked us that. Like, we'd be the last guys to know what was trendy. I know, Michael, like you pride yourself on being a stylish guy. I was talking, you mentioned the frosted tips. I was chatting with Mark Giordano today, who passes on his congratulations, by the way, on 1,000 games. And he reminded me, did you have white skates at your first training camp?
Yeah, I sure did. My first NHL game, there's white skates. And my first summer camps, first like development camp, and then first rookie camps. Yeah. And then Daryl told me to take the figure skates off. So it was time to switch to black ones. There was no... there was no.
You didn't have a choice.
No question about that. So since then, I've had black skates.
It's funny. It is a little difficult for the young guy to fly under the radar with the white skates, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, you know, the guys do it, though, but I mean, Duchesne did it his whole career, so some guys, I guess, get by it, but coming to Western Canada, playing for a Western Canadian team with some Western Cowboys running the team, it wasn't an option.
That's very fair. And I know you got to bounce here in a second, so just a couple more for you, Michael. This one, and I thought about this knowing we might have you on today. I thought about this last night. I just, you know, you go back, it was the training camp of 2011 when you broke your finger, and that was kind of I remember that year. Brent Sutter said over the summer, like, you're playing with Jerome, you're playing with Alex Tanguay, and you were going to be the number one center to start the year, and then you break your finger in training camp and kind of derailed the whole year, or at least the start of the year. And I just remember, you know, how you were pretty disappointed about it. It was just awful luck. Like, if somebody would have told you then that you were playing, you're going to go on and play however many more, 900-plus, 800-plus more NHL games and hit 1,000, would you have wanted to hear that at that time?
Yeah, I mean, it would have helped me boost a little bit because that year was really hard for me. Like you said, came into camp super excited, have family come the home opener. Then I was going to watch the first home opener. I didn't get to do it. Or it would have been my second home opener, but the first time it was my dad and my sisters that were going to watch it. It didn't work out. But, you know, then I came back and I got to play with Iggy and Tanks. The first game I thought I played really well, and still we lost the game. Then we had a back-to-back going to Denver, I remember, I think it was, from Chicago or something like that, and just struggling in game two. And then after that, my season just went sideways. I just couldn't find my game. And then my shoulder got popped in the February, I think, or it was the end of January that year. So only played 41 games, and I just struggled all those 41 games that year. It was mentally very hard for me. So at that point in my career, I didn't think I was going to make it even to 500. It was very, very, very tough year for me.
Michael, as we wrap up, and you know, I know that we've probably asked you this question in some form or another many, many times, but as you are set to join Jerome as the only player to ever have 1,000 games with the Flames organization, whenever your time in this city as a playing member of the Calgary Flames comes to an end, whether it's, you know, I was talking to Melissa from Parachutes for Pets recently, and you know, I know how thrilled they are to have you as you know, one of their chief ambassadors, and what you've done for ALS Society of Alberta, and you know, I just saw you last week at the Special Olympics Breakfast with Champions, and just how over the moon Special O is to have you out as an ambassador every single year, and what you do there, what you did for Kids Cancer Care before all that. When it's all said and done, 1,000-plus games as a member of the Calgary Flames, but also an incredible legacy left in the Calgary community. I just, good way to wrap up a chat with you before you go to dinner. You won a King Clancy Award as a result of it. How proud are you of the legacy you leave? And you know, whenever you're done full-time being in this city, how you've made Calgary a better place. How proud of that are you?
Yeah, no, that's something we take a lot of pride in, me and my wife, to, you know, try and touch as many people's lives as we can and help as many people we can. And at the same time, I try to, you know, perform the ice and help the team and to be the best we can. So, yeah, I'm proud of my years here in Calgary, everything me and my wife have done, and on and off the ice. It's been very special and something we always going to cherish. And you know, I think it's going to be even more special now. The kids are growing up even more and trying to involve them even more. And, Calgary is always going to be such a wonderful, special place to us. I'm always going to come back to. And, it's probably better off asking me this question 10 years from now, maybe. When I'm most likely done with the hockey. I don't think I'll play for another 10, but...
never know.
But yeah, no, I feel proud of what I've done so far, and I've had some time over the last 6 months to really think about it, and especially the last few weeks, getting closer to 1,000 game, it's been really hitting me, and in different ways. And it's I'm not gonna lie, it feels nice that now I have played the 9 games, so I can relax a little bit and really enjoy playing the 1,000 game. Because at times I've been like getting super excited, and you know, gotta put the brakes on here. Still got 2 or 3 more games or 5 games left. You never know what's gonna happen. So I'm super excited.
You bring back the frosted tips, and it'll bring you back another 10 years. So you might have another 10 years, and if you go back with the frosted tips.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. I mean, I feel really good. My body feels great. So, thinking this summer, it's like, I don't know how many more off-season training, summers have left. You know, it flies by. I've done over 20 of them, like really good, solid summer workouts. Off ice years, and I don't know how many there's left, so puts a lot of things in perspective.
We'll let you go to dinner, Bex. Congratulations on the milestone, and I know I can speak for Wes. It's been an honor and a privilege to be able to cover you your whole time here in this city. So enjoy tomorrow night. You deserve it. Thanks for spending some time with us on an off day. I know it's a crazy time for you. So we really do appreciate the 20 minutes with us today. Congrats again. Hey, have a great rest of your night. Enjoy tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, guys, and thanks for having me on. I know, and thanks for having a special. I heard you guys are talking to me for quite some time, so I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Be well, hey. Enjoy tonight.
Thank you.
It's Michael Backlund, Mr. 1,000 on Wednesday night, joining us here on Flames Talk. You know, look, people make fun. Ryan Leslie makes fun of me probably on a daily basis, and you make fun, and Vickers makes fun, but... Honestly, like I just, and you said this, we were over at Starbucks, and you said this because you spoke with him a couple of days ago for a story that you're writing, obviously, over at Post Media. There's not a lot of pro athletes who go about their business quite the way number 11 does.
And yeah.
Differing opinions at different times of what you listening might think of him as a player. One thing you cannot argue is that guy has a very special connection with the organization, with the city, with Flames fans, and whether he plays 1,100, 1,200, however many games he plays as a member of the Calgary Flames. I'm super happy that you can't ever take away that he gets 1,000 games as a member of the Calgary Flames. And honestly, Wes, I truly do believe that's the way that it should be.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned in that chat with Michael that I briefly spoke to Mark Giordano today, and he's a guy that kind of puts it in perspective for me. Like, we all assumed for a long time that Mark Giordano would play 1,000 games in a Flames uniform. And, you know, the first thing he said when we started chatting about Michael's accomplishment is, man, how cool is that to do it in one uniform? And if that's what Mark Giordano's thinking, it just shows you kind of how rare it is and how special it is. You had the stat earlier, right? 82 guys have played 1,000 games in one uniform. I think 73 that got to 1,000 in just that one jersey. And we're talking about a league that has had literally thousands of players in it. And now you're down to double digits in numbers. And so I think that's really special. And the thing that I've always appreciated so much about Michael is, you know, I understand the sort of the exterior that you see from some guys in locker rooms. And we've sat there, you and I have been in countless scrums with guys who are playing in a milestone game, or, you know, it's maybe their NHL debut. And how many times have we heard, it's just another game.
Yeah.
And it's such BS, for starters. What I appreciate about Michael is that this isn't just another game. And passing Mark Giordano to become second in Flames franchise history wasn't just another game. And 500 wasn't just another game. And I think it makes it more... I think it makes it more meaningful for guys like you and I to cover and to celebrate an achievement like this, because Michael Backlund will tell you, yeah, this is a big freaking deal.
Yep.
And I really respect and admire that about him.
Yep. Thank you to Michael for joining us. It is just, if you know the way NHL pro sports media works, like for a guy to join on the phone, on the road, and it doesn't happen very often. So.
At 5 p.m.
At 5 p.m.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often. Just before he's going out for a special dinner with Rasmus Anderson and others.
Could have been on TripAdvisor, Salt Lake City, first time.
Yeah.
You know, what do you got to see?
That is pretty cool that he his 1,000th game is the only building he's ever never played in. That's actually a pretty neat little trivia question that's how he gets to game 1,002.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks to Michael. He joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and deliveries available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This hour on Flames Talk, we're talking 1,000 games for Flames captain Michael Backlund. Backs joined us to kick off the hour, and now really happy to welcome in our next guest, who is now in skills and development with the Calgary Flames and has jumped into that with both feet this season, but was a teammate for essentially all of his Flames career with Michael Backlund and is also part of that 1,000 game club in the NHL. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, and now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Matt Stajan joins the program. Stage, appreciate the time. How are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. I remember talking with you and recording something with you ahead of your 1,000th NHL game, and I remember vividly just how much that meant for you and where you were in your career at that time, what hitting that milestone meant for you and what it meant for your family. Knowing that, how neat is this seeing a guy like Michael hit it on Wednesday night in Utah?
Oh, I'm very excited for him. I think especially, you know, having a personal tie to Backs, you know, when I got traded here in 2010, he was just getting his feet wet. He was still wearing, I think he was still wearing number 60, it was, or
yeah,
that high number that they 60, give you at training
yeah,
camp. And he was just a call-up. He'd play a few games here and there and be back down. So I was with him, you know, for his first 8 years, watching him grow, from being that young rookie to now I'm, in a different role, retired, part of the coaching staff, watching him get to that 1,000th game. It's been really incredible to watch. And just cause he's such a good guy too. Like he works hard. It hasn't always been easy for him. There were times that you have your downs in a long career, that everybody goes through, especially when you're not a superstar and Backs is a really good hockey player at the NHL level and a good two-way guy and is, had an unbelievable career. But when you're a guy that's, you're not in the All-Star game or, hitting the All-Star games every year, you got to work to stay in the league and to stay relevant. And he has done a unbelievable job of, doing that over the course of his career. And he's continuing to do so being, the leader of our team right now.
I guess you got about, what, 5.5, 6 years on Backs when it's all said and done. But, I mean, he's kind of like you, Wes, me, Backs. Like, all of this is not a lot of guys born in the 80s still playing. So, like, I guess there's that is something that you don't really think about all that often. I mean, he's 35 years old and still playing at a really high level, too, isn't he?
He is. And, he plays, some nights he's up over 20 minutes. When you look at the stat sheet, he takes big face-offs. And, when you compare it to my career, I was just hanging on at the end of my career, playing fourth line minutes, in and out of the lineup, scraping just to stay alive. And I barely got past that 1,000th game at 35, and then I was done. Where he's got some years left in him, he still pushes and he pushes the pace of the team. He's a leader and he's really taking care of his body. Like he wins fitness tests every year. So he's really doing the work to keep his body going. And that's why he's, he's been able to play at a high level, at the age that he's at in today's game, and he'll be able to do so for hopefully quite a few more years. So credit to him. And I think anybody that knows Bax, he's just, you know, he works hard and he wants to win, and he brings all that you want in a hockey player. But as a person, he's just, you know, as good as they get. Him and his wife, Frida, do so much for the community here, and they've really embraced Calgary being their home now that they've been here for, you know, 14, 15 years. And it's just been, you know, the friendship I have with them personally and their family. I'm just really proud of them.
You know, Matt, it's funny. You go on, one of my favorite things to do is go on HockeyDB and for guys like you, like Bax, like, you know, guys who have played hundreds and hundreds of games and seasons of games in the NHL, you just kind of click on that picture and you can see how dudes change over the years. And I just did it with Bax, and like he looks the same in every picture except the very first one when he had that very spiky hairdo. The rest of the time, it's like the background changes and that's about it. The only guy I can ever remember the same thing happening with is Michael Stone. Same thing. You're like, that just, he looks like the same human every single headshot he's got in there. It is pretty incredible. Like, he doesn't really look like he's 35 years old at this point, does he?
No, he's lucky. He has the gene where he gets to keep his hair his whole life. So guys like me, the hair just kept thinning as it went. But looking back, I've seen that picture. He's got the dyed hair and spiky hair, you know, the definite junior look, probably puka shell necklace going too. So, you know, that's kind of where he started. He came in and I remember him coming in. He was always such a polite, you know, person, you know, coming as a young guy and, you know, walking into a dressing room, you got Jerome McGinley and some of the guys that were here. And he was always very respectful and he continued that his whole career. And now he's the guy that, you know, I tell the young guys, watch your captain, you know, respect him, watch him. If you want to play in this league and be a contributor to a team, to a city, you don't have to go searching for that. You have it right here in number 11. And I think it's a credit to Bax. He's still playing really good hockey. Like, he's relied on every night for our team here. And I'm just happy that he has been able to stay here this long and was named captain, because it's well-deserved.
Matt Stajan's with us, joining us here on Flames Talk. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson, as we're celebrating 1,000 for Michael Backlund on Wednesday night. Wes?
Matt, I just want to hit on what you just mentioned, and that is, you know, telling the young guys, hey, number 11, watch that guy, emulate that guy. Can you just elaborate for us on what has made him and what makes him at this point such a good role model?
Well, he's a very honest guy. And when I say that, like, not that he's just, you know, tells the truth all the time. Like, he holds himself accountable. He's in the gym. He's preparing before every practice. He prepares before games, with what needs to be done. And at the same time, he's taking on the role of looking over everybody on the team. And the league's so much younger now. So you don't want to say you're like a father figure and taking care of, you know, some of the 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds. But as a captain, you're the guy that everybody goes to, and you're making sure everybody's taken care of. And he's really taken that role to heart. I see it on the day-to-day, just some of the stuff that he has going on in his mind when I talk to him. But he's just a pro. And I know you hear that a lot. And, you know, there's different ways to explain what a pro is. The guys bring different things. But you don't play in this league, if you're one of the best 750 players in the world for as long as he has, if you're not, you know, doing the little things that you don't get really noticed for. You gotta, you know, it's what, when people aren't watching, you're doing a lot of things to make yourself better. But if you're lucky enough to be in a dressing room, with that guy who's doing the little things, you can have a sneak peek at like what it takes. How do I make myself better? How do I handle myself? How do I, just his body language. Like, he's a very positive guy, but he's passionate. And I think that's just from, you know, from him being around certain people. You know, he had Mark Giordano, he had Jerome Iginla, like that's how I learned as well. You just kind of watch, and it's your product of your environment. So anybody in that dressing right now, especially the young guys, should really watch him and become, you know, even a little bit of what he's like.
You were one of 400 guys in NHL history who can answer this question because you've been through it. Tell us what this week and tomorrow is like for Michael Backlund. What is it like when the spotlight is on this individual accomplishment, when everyone wants to ask you about 1,000 games, when you've got the ceremonies and the visitors and, you know, all the other hullabaloo that comes and should come with such an incredible achievement? Like, what's it like to be in the midst of that?
Yeah, well, I think to start, it's very surreal, you know, because as a kid, you're just dreaming of maybe playing, just making it to the NHL. If you could play one game, you would take it as a kid. The fact that you're, you know, reaching such a big milestone, it is very surreal. But, you know, it's just, you're very proud. I think you don't have a lot of times in your career where you can sit back and reflect. And, you know, this is a time where there is a lot of reflection on the first, you know, however, 14, 15 years, if you're lucky enough to play that long of your career, of your life. Like, you just think about everything you've gone through from when you started, you know, hockey as a kid, but hockey at the NHL level, that's a long time. And for Bax, like, he has a family now, he has kids, you know, him and Frieda have really established himself here in Calgary. You know, he's come from a guy who, you know, came here, played a little bit junior in Kelowna and got his feet wet, and now he's the captain of the Calgary Flames. So you kind of just take it all in, and it's hard, you know. I think, and Bax is pretty similar. I find he's very similar to myself, and, you know, you're not going to really, you shy away and you're humble about it, and you just kind of go about your business. You get ready for the game tomorrow. But the fact of the matter, is you're going to have a million text messages on your phone, and everybody's going to be reaching out to you. And in a way, it's a distraction, but it's a nice distraction because it really makes you feel proud of what you've accomplished. But honestly, after the game happens and you get your silver stick and you move on, you know, everything just goes back to how it is, and you worry about getting ready for that next game.
I personally consider the silver stick to be like my two favorite NHL traditions, I think, are the solo lap for your first game and the silver stick. Is that still something that you cherish?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, it's just, you know, you're playing for a long time. You know, you're taking care of yourself. You know, everybody has injuries, but you're able to avoid injuries. And I'm a big believer that, yes, there's bad luck with some injuries, but if you can play for a long time and stay relatively injury free, I think there's something to that about the way you kind of take care of yourself. And, you know, and then on top of that, you know, Bax he's a really good NHLer, two-way player. I don't think he's ever played an all-star game. I think I'm accurate on that.
Yeah.
So like guys like that, you're grinding. You're not just the guy who plays on the power play and gets your points. And, you know, you got that raw, you definitely have raw talent. You're in the NHL, don't get me wrong. And you work, but you also got to work. Like, he's killing penalties. He's, you know, the details of the game, taking faceoffs and making his wingers better. Like, how many times have we talked about a young guy playing on Bax's line and having a pop out year where they really explode? And there's a reason for that, and you know, you take pride in that as a guy like Bax, because, you know, you know I think that something that can be said about you that I think would make me feel really good is, first of all, you're a good teammate, good person, and then you make the players around you better. And I think that's what we can say about Bax, because anybody who plays with Bax seems to have a career year, and I think we can look at a number of players who could say that.
Where's your silver stick? Like, where do you keep it?
You know what? Mine was it was under the bed in my guest room for the longest time, just because I never had a chance to put it up, and we finally moved, and I honestly just put it up like 2 months ago on the wall down by my bar. It's on display with couple nice pictures for my career, and that's where it is. yeah, it was tucked away for a while. So, but when you pull it out and people, it's kind of cool how they do it. I don't know if everybody knows the process, but they actually take your game stick. They take a game stick that you use and they send it off. Depot sends it off and I don't know where. And they plate it. They dump it in like silver and plate around your actual stick and then they engrave it. So, you know, when you pick up my solar stick, as my curve that I used, and it's basically my stick, but it's weighted down by a bunch of silver or whatever, whatever it is that they put around it, and it's really heavy. And then they played it with the games played for myself. So I played 445 games in Toronto and then the rest in Calgary. So I have my two logos. It's actually really cool. You know, I think I would definitely trade that in for a Stanley Cup, but you know, I think as a personal achievement, I think, you know, for things that you can control, it's a pretty cool thing to have. And I'm glad I got it up there because it's just a nice reminder of all the years and time you put into, you know, basically what your life was. You dedicated your life to something and you're able to do something that only over 400 people have done in this world.
Matt, I want to thank you because I personally
have no idea.
Not only do I find that detail fascinating, but I have a lot of things in my spare bedroom that I was supposed to hang on the wall months or years ago, and you just made me feel way better because none of them are nearly as cool as a silver stick. And now I think you've bought me a couple more years.
Yeah, there you go. It's you know how it is. You just kind of you forget about it, and then you know it's. You know, it's something you need to keep putting up. And my wife bought little things to plaque it on and hold it up on the wall. So we finally actually did it. Like, I think it was just last month, to tell you the truth. But one thing that the Flames actually do, and I'm pretty sure they'll do it for backs, is they always get your kids mini sticks plated. So my kids have little plated, silver plated mini sticks with, you know, daddy's 1,000th game stats on it, and so it's pretty cool keepsake for them as well. And the Flames always do those things right.
Sure do.
I actually, when I was chatting with Michael a couple days ago, he mentioned that he remembered the mini silver sticks in part from your ceremony, and I know he's very excited about that part. He's certainly hoping his kids walk away Friday with one of those.
Yeah, it'll be a nice celebration, and I hope his 1,000th game goes a little better than mine. We lost 4-0 to Anaheim at home, and basically ended our playoff dreams that year. But hopefully for Bax, we end this little skid we're on and get a nice win for him in Utah tomorrow night.
You and just as we wrap up, you're enjoying season one so far in your new role.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think the coaching staff has been very welcoming, and you know, they're just a great staff to be a part of. I'm learning so much from them, and you know, it's just a good group in there. And you know, at the end of the day, we're an extension of the team, trying to get the most of the guys we have on the roster, and trying to get everybody to believe. And it's been a really nice transition for myself, and I'm hoping to, you know, keep helping in any way I can as the season goes. I think it's early, but we're already 9 games in, which is crazy to think. So, but I'm really enjoying things.
Great stuff, Stage. Really appreciate the time. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us this afternoon, and enjoy game 1,000 for Michael on Wednesday. Really appreciate the time. Hey.
Okay. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
That is Matt Stajan, former Flame, one of the 400 plus to have ever played 1,000 games in the NHL. It's a club that Michael Backlund will join on Wednesday night. Thought Stage would be a really good guy to bring on after Michael, who joined us to kick off the hour. That was,
and you were right.
Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, when am I not right?
Yeah. We got to go to break soon.
We do. This has been the Sports Drive, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Calgary Lock and Safe. As we do start to wrap things up this hour, Matt Stajan joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Thanks to Shan. Thanks to Connor, our producers this hour. Of course, Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. And this has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.